In our Sunday morning series of studies in the second book of Chronicles, and we have reached chapter 26. The second book of Chronicles, chapter 26, at verse 1. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The next verses tell of the king's administration, of how he built up his home policy and his foreign policy. And we take up the story at the end of verse 15. His fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped by God till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was false to the Lord his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priests and all the priests looked at the king, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out quickly, and he himself hastened to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And being a leper, he dwelt in a separate house. That is, he was set aside from his service as king. Being a leper, he dwelt in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, wrote. And Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field which belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Amen, and may God bless to our hearts such a reading of his word. Now will you turn with me in the story that we read earlier in the service in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. The story is the story of King Uzziah. Sometimes, especially in the book of Kings, called Azariah. And I understand that there is very, very little difference in the Hebrew between Uzziah and Azariah. But I should imagine the moment we mention the name King Uzziah, those who really know their Bibles reasonably well will at once associate King Uzziah with the story of the call to the ministry of the great evangelical prophet Isaiah. Remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when the young minister, as it were, was speaking about his call to the ministry. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and sitting upon the throne, and his glory filled the temple." This is the King Uzziah that we are concerned with this morning. And the story of the life and the work of King Uzziah is a story of triumph and of tragedy. If you were to glance briefly at verse 8, I think it is, or verse 6, then verses 15 and 16, you will read there that he was a man who was marvelously helped by God, and he was made strong. But, verse 16, when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction, and he was false to the God who had blessed him, the God who had made him all that he was, the God who had enabled him to be a king and a leader of his people. A story of triumph and tragedy. The story of King Uzziah in many ways is a story of glory, a glorious story. Because under God's blessing, and this is all detailed in the passage of the chapter that we didn't read from verse 6 down to verse 15. Under God's blessing, the nation of Judah was built up. The people of God became an influence for good. And the people of God and the work of God committed to them seemed to be set for a great future. And the man who led them in all this by the grace of God was a good man. No doubt about that. He was a good man, Uzziah. He was a spiritually minded man. There's no doubt about that. He was a man who for a considerable number of years had been the instrument of God's blessing upon his people and his work. But that glorious story ended in shame and disgrace. And we emphasized as we read the passage when we came to verse 21 that he was set aside to live out the rest of his days as a man who was really irrelevant to the further development of the work of God. And it was almost inevitable right at the early stage of my preparation for preaching this sermon, since the passage and the sermon has obviously got application to ministers and to elders and to all who lead in any way, that I should turn to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's only a brief quotation. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 27, where Paul says, "I pommel," or "I discipline my body, my whole personality and life, and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Some would translate the verse, "lest after preaching to others, I myself should lose my reward." But there is engraved upon my mind and my heart the translation of that verse that I came across many years ago now. I don't have it written into the margin of my Bible. I don't need it written. The translation that read, "lest after preaching to others, I myself should be laid aside as of no further use." The story of King Uzziah is a story that is very similar to the story of his father and his grandfather before him, because they both began well, and these forebears were both used by God, and then they fell. They fell because of spiritual backsliding, and at the heart of their spiritual backsliding was disobedience. The story of Uzziah is slightly different. Uzziah, this good, godly man, who had been significantly used by God, went wrong at a certain stage of his life and service, not because of disobedience, in one sense, but because of spiritual presumption. He felt so sure of his spirituality. After all, it was evident he had been used by God. The people had been blessed through him. He had done this, he had done that, he had done... Very few could claim to have done so much in the service of God as Uzziah could claim. But he became so sure of his own spirituality that he decided to act as a priest in the house of God. Now, Uzziah knew perfectly well, as all the people of God knew, that the service of the priesthood was restricted to those prescribed by God, the sons of Aaron. No one had the right to act as a priest. But in verses 16 to 21 of our passage this morning, we read how the king decided to act as a priest in the house of God. He intruded into an area of action and work, shall we put it? He intruded into an area of spiritual service in relation to the house of God that was not his to do. He presumed. He interfered. And it was that spiritual pride that led to his downfall. When he was challenged and rebuked by Azariah the priest and the other priests, when he was challenged and rebuked for his own spiritual good, for his own spiritual safety, and to preserve his future service for God, he was angry. And in that moment of anger, in the house of God, in the very presence of God, leprosy broke out in his body. It was an affliction from God that affected and determined and limited the rest of his life and the rest of his usefulness to God. Do you see what I mean when I say his story is a story of triumph and of tragedy? We read at the beginning of the chapter that Uzziah was 16 years of age when the people made him king. Notice the words in verse 1, instead of his father. At that point, his father hadn't died. But his father, as we found in our study last Sunday morning, his father because of his disobedience, had been captured by the enemy, and he was a prisoner in exile in the northern kingdom of Israel. And the people said, we can't be without a king. We've got the king's son. He's only 16. So they made him king instead of his father. And we are told that he reigned for 52 years. I hope you'll take my word for it when I say that he reigned, first of all, for about 10 years as regent. He reigned instead of his father, who was an exile in a foreign land. Then for the next 15 years, he shared the throne and the administration of government with his father. And then for 27 years after his father did die, he was king on his own. So we have basically a spell of 52 years. And the astonishing thing is just how little, apart from this chapter, there is recorded in Scripture about this man and his life and service. 52 years with scarcely a mention. His name, Uzziah, so the commentaries tell me, means God is my strength. His other name, Azariah, means, so I'm told, God is my help. And this was basically the attitude of this man's life. God was his strength, God was his help. That was his testimony. He was God's man. And he wanted to be God's man. And he had a very, very good minister, a prophet by the name of Zechariah, who ministered to him the word of God, helping him and encouraging him and enabling him to be true to his name and to be a man of God. Uzziah walked with God. So the chapter tells us he was that kind of man. He set himself to seek God. He walked with God and he worked with God. He began, it says, the way his father did before him. He began with the situation as it was. The situation that was left by his father. And of course, that is where all Christian work begins. You begin with the situation in which God has placed you. You cannot clear the decks and start with no problems. And that's what some young ministers and some young missionaries do. They make that mistake. They are set in a certain place. They see all sorts of things that are wrong, and they begin to swipe right, left, and we've got to clear the decks so that we can start afresh and do a truly spiritual work. But you can't do that. You have to start with the situation as it is. That's what Jesus did when he was born in Bethlehem. He started with a situation that had people like the wicked, cruel, sadistic Herod the king, and a backslidden, non-spiritual church represented by the high priest and the chief priest and the Pharisees. He started with what was there, and so did Uzziah. I like this verse 5. He set himself to seek God. Yes, as I said, he had a man of faith and spirituality, the minister of God's word, Zechariah, to teach him and to encourage him, and a man that he could confide in. But keep in mind that Zechariah wasn't the only spiritual giant. This kingdom of Judah at the time of King Uzziah was sending out foreign missionaries. Amos was a citizen of Uzziah's kingdom, and Amos had gone to be a missionary in the northern kingdom of Israel. Oh, the possibilities this king had, the encouragement, the opportunities. What a situation. And in that situation, he set himself to seek God. And he did so under the gracious ministry of the Word of God. Now you see, he set himself to seek God. Your parent can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Your friends cannot do it for you. You yourself have to set yourselves to seek after God. I wonder if you would say, I'll allow you to think, it is not a public thing, it's private. I wonder if you would say with regard to your life, whatever age you are, that in your life you are setting yourself to seek after God. Now think about it. It is the only way of life, it is the only way of safety. He set himself to seek God. And as he went about his work, he was strong. He was strong in his commitment. He was strong in his leadership. There's a suggestion in verse 11, towards the end of the verse, that he was also strong in delegation. He didn't try to do everything himself. We are told in the second verse of the chapter that he built Eloth. And the commentaries tell me that is the town that is now the town that we call Eilat. A very significant and a very affluent holiday resort right up at the top of the Red Sea. He built Eilat on the Red Sea. And we see in King Uzziah a king who had a foreign policy. It was at the tail end of his territory at Eilat that there was this port to the sea for trade. He was a king with a foreign policy for trade and for expansion. And I mention all this in order that we might see that we are dealing here with King Uzziah, a man who set himself to seek after God, who was blessed by God, a man whose person and whose work were going from strength to strength. And it was acknowledged, not least by Uzziah, that it was all from God. The possibilities for the future were limitless. Verse 16. But when he was strong, he grew proud, and he and his work went wrong. I don't know, because I cannot find out, if by this stage the godly prophet, minister, teacher of God's word was now dead. I don't know if other men who had been preachers of God's word for some reason were now silent. I don't know. I wonder sometimes if, having grown strong, it's amazing how many Christians who, once they feel they're established and they're spiritual, don't anymore listen to the teaching and the preaching of God's word as once they did. They know it all. They can see how the sermon applies to this one and to that one and to the other one. But, well, of course, we know it, and we've been going a long time, and we're established. So was Isaiah. And it was his spiritual overconfidence that led to presumption, that led to disaster. It may be that Zechariah, the prophet and teacher, was still there, but that the king now simply did not attend to the word of God as it was preached and taught. Now you see, a lot of years have gone past since Isaiah was 16. And what we're reading about in the second half of the chapter was not a young man going astray because of the enthusiasm of youth. I'm glad that youth has enthusiasm. It can drive you around the bend at times or up the wall, but I'm glad that youth has enthusiasm. But it's so easy when you're young for your enthusiasm to carry you away, especially if you've some degree of success. And I suppose in a sense you can put up with that. Because so often young folk who get carried away by their own success, when you get the chance to speak to them, they recognize and the situation is rectified. Not always. I've been speaking for years about Christian young folk. Yes, including Christian young folk who are the children of Christian parents. I've been going on for years about their spiritual responsibility to be at the prayer meeting in the church to which they belong and to which they owe so much. And it's had no effect. It's very sad. It is also very significant for the long-term future of these Christian young people. But as Isaiah was no longer a young man. He was a man of maturity. He was a man of experience. Nobody could say of Isaiah when he transgressed like this, "Oh, he's young, he doesn't know any better." The king couldn't plead ignorance because he was taught by God in the truth of God, and he had been the recipient in tremendous measure of the blessing of God. But he transgressed. When he was strong, he grew proud, and he was false to the Lord his God. As we've said earlier, he entered in the area of the priests. He did things that only the priests were allowed to do. He took charge of a certain area of the house of God when he had no right to do so. He interfered. And the priest Azariah and others with him withstood the king. Now it's one thing to challenge a new convert. It's one thing to rebuke a new recruit to the army, but to go to the general in command and rebuke that man in the name of God, that's something quite different, and it gives us some indication of the caliber of at least some of the people in the nation of Judah. And they rebuked the king. Because as a result of the king's earlier example, now think of this, because of the king's earlier example and his clear submission to the word of God, there had been built up in the kingdom a body of committed believers who were ready and who were able to contend for the faith. And Azariah the priest went in after the king, and they withstood the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That area of work is for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated by God to do this service. Go out of the sanctuary. You have done wrong. It will bring you no honor from the Lord your God." A very balanced statement of rebuke. But the king was angry. What right had they to challenge his spirituality? What right had they to question anything that he did? Was he not a man who had been blessed by God? Was he not a man who had served God? And the king was angry. And God dealt with him, not the priest. And he became a leper. And for the rest of his life, he was on the sidelines of God's ongoing work. And the whole story, as we draw to a close, the whole story teaches two lessons. It teaches, first of all, the possibilities, the almost limitless possibilities of a life given to God and blessed by God and used by God for the blessing of others. It teaches the second lesson of the possibility of a life of fruitful service brought to a premature end because of pride, spiritual pride, and spiritual presumption. When King Uzziah died, the young Isaiah the prophet was about to start his life's work. And God revealed himself to the young prophet and revealed his throne, as if to say to the young man at the start of his life and work, see that your trust is in God, not in man. Because the failure of King Uzziah had seemingly undermined the faith and the hope of the young prophet who was about to play a significant part in God's work. See that your trust is in God, not in man, not in a minister, not in the work, not in its success. Coming to a communion Sunday at the end of a year, with a new year ahead of us, and in the light of the solemnity of what we've been studying this morning, would you not say that this is a day for new dedication? Lest, and I leave you with Paul's words, lest, having preached to others, I myself might be laid aside as of no further use. Amen, and may God bless to us his word.